Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy hump day. October 24, 2018. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you on this fantastic weekday afternoon here in mid-Michigan. I really hope you guys are having a great week. Once you get over the hump, just what, two more days, and then the weekend is upon you, all right? So, as I customarily say, I'm so honored and glad you allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM, or you may be watching and listening at facebook.com/WKAR News and checking out the live stream there. Or you may be even listening to the podcast version of the show at WKAR.org. However you are tuned in, I'm eternally grateful. All right, I'm back on the mic after a one-day hiatus. I had to go down to Detroit for the funeral of my late great aunt Marion. And you know, that's always tough, right? When you go home and you know, you're amongst family, and it's kind of a weird thing because, you know, of course you're there for a funeral, so that's never a joyous occasion. But, you know, to be amongst family and friends that you haven't seen in a long time, it's bittersweet without a doubt. And I always say, and I actually had to post this to my InstaChat story, that, hey, man, tell somebody that, you know, you haven't spoke to in a while, whether that be a family member or a friend, tell them you love them, because, again, tomorrow is never promised, and it shouldn't take, like, a tragedy like that for our families and friends to get together on a regular basis. All right? So, much love to Jack Kerwin, Alec Rio, and Tino Abarca, who filled in and pinch hit for me yesterday. Got a chance to listen to the show yesterday, and it's good job, man. Are you feeling more comfortable with your hosting abilities? I thought you held down the fort quite well, man.
I did all right. You know what? When you were out that whole week at the end of summer, I feel like my last show that night was still like my best show to date, I would say.
Gotcha. Well, you didn't do a bad job, man. You guys held it down. And again, technical difficulties happen. All right. You know, I know the D'Antonio bite was being pesky. It happens all the time here on Current Sports. But, you know, you guys did an awesome job with that. All right. So I'm itching to get to this show because I got a lot I want to talk about, all right? And we've got two guests. So I'm going to try and cram in what I want to talk about as much as I can prior to 1:30, all right? Because later on this hour, we will have Xavier DeGroat on the show. He is a part of the Xavier DeGroat, of course, the Autism Foundation, and they have a cool event that's taking place tomorrow, starting in the morning at 11:30 a.m. and going, you know, up to our broadcast, actually, at 1 p.m. at the Breslin Center Hall of History. Xavier will tell you all about it. You don't want to miss that interview. And also, as I speak right now, Susie Merchant is speaking as Michigan State Women's Basketball Media Day is taking place, of course, at the Breslin Center. Susie talks from 1 to 1:30, and then the players talk to the media from 1:30 all the way up until about 2 or 2:15. So with that being said, again, I can't be present for MSU Women's Basketball Media Day. The first time this has happened where it's, you know, just happened the same time as I'm on the air. So what we're going to do is talk with Michigan State Women's Basketball SID, the great Kara Fisher, and we are hoping to get Taryn McCutcheon on the show, Michigan State Women's Basketball starting point guard, the local product from right here in East Lansing. Taryn should be joining us around 1:45. So a loaded hour. Before all of that jazz, I want to weigh in on what Coach D had to say at his press conference on Tuesday morning at Spartan Stadium. All right. And I also want to get to this big addition for the Detroit Lions and whether or not the Lions are for real. All right. I just want to address that to start the show. All right. And I want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. And as I just mentioned, our live stream is up. You can weigh in and comment below the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can join the conversation on Twitter. Again, tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. And right now, we proceed with your current sports quick hit headliners. Right, and right now, live here in studio, I am being helped with our current sports quick hit headliners, as I usually am on a Wednesday afternoon here, with Adam Mackey and Trevor Tozlowski. I nailed it that time, Trevor. All right, Adam starts us off with some updates on Michigan State men's soccer.
All right, number 12 Michigan State men's soccer played Michigan to a 1-1 draw last night at a packed DeMartin Stadium in the Battle of the Big Bear Trophy. And the Spartans retained the trophy for the fourth time in the last 6 years with the tie. MSU scored early in the second half on a goal from freshman defender Jack Beck before U of M countered in the second half, and neither team could get the game winner. And the teams played to their first draw in the series since 2006.
All right, and also MSU women's soccer is in action today, Adam.
Yep, the Michigan State women's soccer team travels to Lincoln, Nebraska for the final game of the 2018 regular season Wednesday this afternoon. Kickoff is scheduled for 1 p.m. Eastern time from Hibner Stadium. Wednesday's game takes place after the original meeting between the two teams scheduled for October 14th was postponed due to snowy weather conditions in Lincoln.
So with that one getting underway, we hope to bring you all an update throughout this hour. But you know soccer, this thing could end in a 0-0 draw, a 0-0 draw. That's how soccer is. All right, so we'll keep you updated if any scoring happens while we're on the air here on Current Sports. All right, thanks for that, Adam. John Beilein has his first basketball commit in the 2020 recruiting class. Jeb Jackson, that's got a ring to it, a four-star guard out of Ohio, committed to Michigan last night. Jackson made the announcement on social media. He is the number 66 prospect in his class, according to the 247 Sports Composite Rankings, and the 18th best shooting guard. Jackson had Michigan in his final seven schools, along with Michigan State, Purdue, and Butler, among others. All right, Trevor, what you got? Because this is an interesting story concerning a high school kind of stepping on the foot of Michigan State University's logo.
Yeah, stop using our logo is what Michigan State is telling a school district north of Midland to do after finding out it has been using the trademarked Spartan Head logo. The athletic director of Pinconning High School,
Pinconning,
yep, says that it's going to cost a lot of money because the logo is on the school's uniforms, doors, signs, and even the floors. MSU sent a letter to the Pinconning superintendent saying the school needs to stop using the logo. The school's AD, Kyle Woodruff, said the school didn't intend to copy MSU. Quote, when we go to a company, we say, we want a Spartan head on our uniform, and that's the one they give, end quote, said Woodruff. Pinconning schools have since worked on a new logo that is already on some clothing but is not much different. However, MSU says the slight changes is okay with them.
Petty or no petty?
I don't know. My high school, I don't know if I should say this on the radio. Cal Poly, if you're listening, do not get mad. My high school uses the CP that Cal Poly uses as our logo.
Okay.
It's on our midfield. I don't know if we have permission from them, being in the west part of Michigan, and Cal Poly obviously out in, you know, the middle of California. But, yeah, we use their CP logo.
So I don't think this is petty at all for Michigan State. This
I don't
is branding.
Think so. Yeah.
You just can't use a logo. I mean, heck, we have they teach us that in journalism school. You just can't take somebody else's work, right? I mean, you have to make sure that from a branding perspective, nobody else is using your logo. It's not just floating out there, right?
Yeah.
Without, you know, going through proper protocol and getting permission to use
it. Exactly.
So,
and if they had asked Michigan State, I don't think Michigan State would go, no, you can't use our logo.
I think they would have.
You think
just
they,
because
you
they
think
want,
they
are very, very anal about, you know, their brand. Just that, you know, if you're a Big Ten university like a Michigan State, I mean, you don't want your logo just floating out at high schools, you know? So I get it.
Is it
I
different
totally
than
this.
With Michigan and the wings on the helmet? Because a lot of schools use even Delaware in nearly the same
have they trademarked
colors.
The wings?
I don't know.
If it's trademarked, I get it. If not, I don't know if that's trademarked, though. Like, okay, if a high school was using the Block M, for instance, no, that can't fly. So I get this. I don't think it's petty at all. It's business. Preach on. All right. And also, this is really cool stuff. And I want to give our local high schools a big shout out as well, because this weekend I'm really excited because it's high school football playoff time. And we have four local teams that are perfect in the final AP rankings. I want to give a big shout out to Pomona, Westphalia, DeWitt, Portland, and also Morris. All finishing the year 9-0 on the season. And speaking of Portland, John Navarra has built quite the resume in 20 seasons as the head coach of the Portland Red Raiders High School's head football coach. 141-64 is his career record. 2012 Division V state championship, 15 playoff appearances in 16 years, and a 39-4 mark since 2015. Quite remarkable what John Navarra has done throughout his tenure as head coach of the Portland Red Raiders. As of yesterday, Navarra can add another line to that resume. Detroit Lions High School Coach of the Week. Navarra earned the honor for Week 9 after his Raiders defeated Montague last Friday 27-20 to finish the regular season with a 9-0 record for the third time in 4 years. Crazy, crazy, right? Speaking of crazy, this was a crazy acquisition for the Detroit Lions that I think I'm not going to... Let me say my thoughts right now. What's the news? What's the news, Adam?
All right. As I woke up this morning, I saw this notification. The Detroit Lions acquired one of the best run-stuffing defensive tackles in the NFL on Wednesday when they traded a 2019 fifth-round pick to the New York Giants for Damon Sax Harrison. Lions coach Matt Patricia confirmed that the Lions had been talking to the Giants but would not confirm the trade Wednesday morning because it wasn't official. Deal comes less than 24 hours after the New York Giants traded starting cornerback Eli Apple, former first-round draft pick, to the New Orleans Saints for a fourth-round pick in 2019 and a seventh-rounder in 2020. Harrison and Apple may not be the only players dealt away from the Giants, who are 1-6 and mirrored in last place in the NFC East.
All right, and Jack just chimed in my ear and said that, and I must be real, when I woke up and saw this news, I said, Damon Harrison. Who is Damon? Oh, Snacks! It's Snacks! I know I'm just a snack. So this is huge for the Lions. And it's been confirmed, at least from Damon on his Twitter page, right? Jack, you chimed in my ear and said that Damon did write a nice little thank you to New York, right?
Yeah, I think it was a quote of like his Instagram post or something thanking New York and New Jersey for, you know, so many years, because he was with the Jets before he was with the Giants as well.
Exactly. He's an amazing player. I'll have further thoughts on Snacks being acquired by the Honolulu Blue in just a moment. Trevor, I lost my mind watching this game last night. Now, you know what? I'm going to flip. As you're talking, I'm going to flip the camera around so people can see what you're rocking right now, because you know you're rocking a throwback Detroit Pistons Rip Hamilton jersey along with a really fly Detroit Pistons hat. Fitting for today. What happened last night, Trevor?
Last night, you know, Blake Griffin has heard the criticism about him the past few years. He understands it even. But last night against the Philadelphia 76ers, the Detroit Pistons forward might have shown everyone that he isn't bad anymore. Griffin had a career-high 50 points in a 133-132 overtime win over Philadelphia. He reached that milestone on a driving layup and one that doubled as the tying basket and the winning free throw for the team he was traded to last winter.
I don't know how long I'm going to be able to say this, but the Pistons are undefeated. 3-0.
One of five teams.
3-0. So I'm soaking it up right now. Watching that, that was one of the most entertaining Detroit Pistons games I've ever watched. And I've been a fan since I popped out the womb back in 1990. All
that
right?
Was,
and Wasn't it crazy?
It was playoff level atmosphere. You know, there's only 14,000 people there in a stadium that seats 21.
And
it full.
Sounded, and we're going to play the audio from a few of the highlights in just a moment. It sounded like it was a packed house.
It did. And I think that's the kind of game that's going to, and a game on NBA TV,
yep.
where fans outside of the markets are going to see that and, you know, really understand that this Pistons team can be for real this year.
Blake Griffin was... I've never seen him play that well. I mean, he had it on full display. This is what Blake can do when he's healthy. Hitting the jumper. I love how, and this is what this makes a difference. Dwayne Casey coming to the Pistons. You're seeing the change already from the Stan Van Gundy philosophy. I've always said, run your offense through Blake Griffin. That's what Dwayne Casey's doing. It's opening up other shots for players like a Reggie Bullock, for Reggie Jackson, Ish Smith, even Andre Drummond, who had a few like threes that I'm like, okay, dude, I know you're working on that jumper, but come on, man. Drummond also got into it with Joel Embiid and got ejected for just a nonsensical like elbow. It was a huge flop from Joel Embiid.
I mean, I don't think he touched him actually.
The dude deserves an Oscar right now for his performance there. But I'm gonna have further thoughts on the Pistons in just a moment because that game. Wow. That was fun to watch.
Could you imagine that being a 4-5 matchup in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Getting to see that, getting dragged out.
I've said the Pistons will be a 4 or 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. And thank you, LeBron James, for going to the West. Much appreciated from Pistons fans everywhere. All right. And also, you know, I'll let you take this, Adam. The World Series last night, game one of the World Series. What happened?
All right, I was actually watching this game instead of the Pistons, but I caught the very end of the Pistons game.
Understandable,
but,
it's the World Series.
Andrew Benintendi, J.D. Martinez, and the Boston Red Sox came out swinging in the World Series opener, seizing every advantage in their quirky ballpark to defeat the Los Angeles Dodgers 8-4 on a chilly, windy night last night. Benintendi had 4 hits, Martinez drove in 2 early runs, and pinch hitter Eduardo Nunez golfed a 3-run homer to seal it. The 108-win Red Sox got a solid effort from their bullpen after an expected duel between aces Chris Sale and Clayton Kershaw never developed. Dodgers turned to Hyunjin Ryu in Game 2 of the World Series tonight against the Red Sox, needing a win to get the split Fenway Park and avoid falling behind 0-2 in the best-of-7 series. Los Angeles will be facing Boston left-hander and former Detroit Tiger David Price.
A lot of scoring last night. Fun one to watch as well. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. As I mentioned, we'll have Xavier DeGroat on the show in just a moment of the Spartan Sports Supports. Xavier DeGroat and the Autism Foundation event that will be taking place starting tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. and going all the way until 1 p.m. And we're scheduled to have MSU women's basketball point guard Taryn McCutcheon joining us around 1:45 p.m. Until then, let's get this show on the road.
Great game.
All All right, I'm back in the saddle. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just want to briefly touch on my Detroit Pistons last night. 3-0. Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to feel this good, because we all know what happened last year, right? The red, white, and royal blue. They go 14-6. Then Reggie Jackson gets injured, and the season goes down to 2. But I'm feeling good right now. Dwayne Casey, the reigning and only in the NBA, does a reigning coach of the year get fired? Only the NBA, right? Pistons were smart in picking up Dwayne Casey, and now he is the head coach of the Pistons and off to a great start. A great start. And as I just stated in the headliners, I mean, running the offense through Blake Griffin. This is what Blake Griffin can do when he's healthy. I mean, he is one of the top 12 players in the league. He really is. He is a dynamic scorer. He can do multiple things. He is like a point forward. He is. I mean, he can push the ball up the floor. He can hit the three, take you off the dribble, back you down. He's strong as heck. I mean, the dude is just fun to watch. And Reggie Bullock, shout out to him. He had some big shots down the stretch. You know, then you had Ish Smith, who's a lightning bolt coming off the bench for the Pistons. Reggie Jackson was in double-figure scoring. Andre Drummond, despite those threes he took, he was a solid presence, I thought. And the only headline you're going to see when it comes to Drummond last night is the fact that he got into it yet again with Joel Embiid, who is the master trash talker when it comes to big men in the league. And I think Joel Embiid, after the game, said something like, you know, he has a permanent residence inside of the head of Andre Drummond. I love it from Joel. Some people don't like his antics, but this is genuinely who Joel Embiid is. All right? It's kind of like Draymond Green. Draymond Green came in the league as a trash talker. That's part of his DNA. All right? That's sag nasty all day for you. And that's how Joel Embiid truly is. That's what makes him Joel Embiid. And he is just fun to watch, too. Scores in multiple ways. I mean, for a guy of his size, it just really shows you how the game is changing. If you're a big man in the National Basketball League today, you got to be able to shoot the J. You got to be able to do the dirty work inside. I mean, that's just how it is today. And Joel Embiid is that guy. And Andre realized that in the offseason and is now working on this jump shot of his. But that was really fun. And then J.J. Redick got fouled by Reggie Jackson on the 4-point play. And then Blake, you know, 5 seconds left, just says, give me the ball. You know, he splits the double team. A great ball fake on the pass as well. Splits the double team, goes to the rack, gets fouled, and one. And more importantly, he hits the game-winning free throw. And the Palace absolutely rocking. I saw that my frat brother Keith was in the house. He got sweet tickets somehow and said it was one of the most entertaining games he's ever been to. The best Pistons game he's ever been to. So we'll see if they can keep this thing rolling, but the Pistons have the attention of the league right now, I tell you that. So shout out to the red, white, and royal blue. All right. I don't want to talk Michigan State right now because I feel like we've exhausted that conversation these past 2 days. I heard you, Jack, on the show yesterday, yourself along with Alec Rio, Tino Abarca also helping out behind the glass, and you guys touched on Michigan State football, and I heard you, Jack, say that you believe that Rocky Lombardi is going to start, probably, or should start against Purdue this weekend.
I'd like
right?
him to start, yeah.
Yeah, I can't argue with you there. I mean, heck, let's be real. Let's keep it all the way 100. I mean, Brian Lewerke should have been pulled after that first quarter. You know, I mean, at 5 of 25, come on. You know, you thought he was just miraculously going to turn it on, and you guys knew. I mean, the coaching staff, when I say you guys, the coaching staff knew that he hadn't practiced Monday through Thursday. He had a right shoulder injury, so why force it? So I think that Rocky, if Brian is not 100%, and if he still isn't practicing this week, and if you do decide to play him, if he isn't playing well, if he does not start off that game well, pull him. Bench him, rest him, throw in Rocky Lombardi, and we'll see what happens. And it's so surprising. I could not believe this. I thought something was wrong with my laptop. I thought I was on the wrong website. But I went to Bovada earlier this week, and Michigan State is favored in this game. How are the Spartans favored to beat Purdue? I have no idea. Maybe Vegas knows something that we don't know. The line started at 1, then it moved to 2. Now it's at 2.5. How is Michigan State favored against Purdue? I have no clue. So we'll see what happens this weekend. Purdue is the hot team in the Big Ten. And I have absolutely no idea how the Spartan defense plans on slowing down that scorching hot Purdue offense. But I don't want to exhaust you all with Spartan talk right now, because we have yet to get to the Detroit Lions, who made a huge move. A huge move this morning. Damon Harrison is coming to the Honolulu Blue. If you don't know who Damon Harrison is, Damon Harrison has been the leading individual run stopper in the National Football League the past two seasons. His nickname is Snacks. I mean, the dude is huge. He's huge. I mean, 6'3", you know, over 300 pounds. I mean, this is a mammoth of a man who has wreaked havoc on offensive lines throughout the league. I mean, they call him Snacks for a reason. I mean, he is just completely... the dude eats. The dude eats offensive linemen for breakfast. He eats quarterbacks for breakfast. He eats running backs for breakfast. This dude is serious. But the question I have, big addition. This is Bob Quinn is making all the right moves right now, and it blows my mind how the conversation has shifted from week one, Monday Night Football against the New York Jets, when everybody and their mama just was so low on this team. One of the most embarrassing losses in Detroit Lions franchise history. I went on the record and said it's the most embarrassing loss I have witnessed in my lifetime watching this team play. And then all of a sudden they just, you know, they beat the Patriots. Cool. All right, Sunday Night Football game. They beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. You know, all right. They were close against my Cowboys. Then you saw what they did this past weekend against the Miami Dolphins. So the question I have is this team legit? Are you buying stock in the Detroit Lions this 2018-19 year? I'm going to say no right now. That's where I'm at with it. Because, you know, the Lions, you know, they're like that relationship that you have or had, hopefully had, with that significant other, where, you know, something may have happened in a relationship and you just can't really trust that person, he or she anymore. But you know, they're starting to do the right things to get back in your good graces, and you're like, okay, that was nice. You brought me flowers. Okay. Oh, you're texting regularly. You're not waiting hours and then texting me back. Oh my goodness. You know, you want to take me out on a date? You want to take me out? You appreciate me? Oh my gosh. I'm really in love with you now. And Jack says, challenging my ear and says, this is a true story. Oh, yeah, this is a true story. This happened to me before. So it's like, and then I'm like, okay, all right, I'm feeling you. Let's try it again. Why not? I love you, girl. And then they break your heart again. Just rip it out and just throw it on the ground and just stomp on it. I didn't let that happen, Jack. I'm just saying. This is what the Lions remind me of. They do this all the time, you know? And this is the thing. When it comes to the Lions, and I look at the wins they have right now, I'm just saying right now, let's wait, because it may be fool's gold. When they played the Patriots had multiple inactives. Ryan Gronkowski on one leg, basically. Rob. I said Ryan. Where did Ryan Gronkowski? Rob Gronkowski, Gronk, one leg, basically. The Packers. The Packers aren't good this season, all right? I'm sorry. I don't know if the Packers are going to make the playoffs this year. The Packers are not the team that we thought they were coming into this season. And the Miami Dolphins aren't a good football team, despite that record. I know you look at the record, yeah, oh, the Dolphins are 4-3. They're over 500. The Dolphins, it's the Miami Dolphins. And they didn't have Ryan Tannehill. Brock Osweiler was filling in, backup quarterback there. I don't think the Miami Dolphins are that good of a football team. Have you seen the schedule that the Lions have in November? And the Lions are going to beat the Seahawks this year. They're going to beat the Seahawks come Sunday. I'm not big on the Seahawks this season. You know, looking at Russell Wilson, his QBR is bad. Is it the lowest he's had in his career? I have to double check that. But I think I read somewhere it's the lowest he's had in his career. If not in his career, it's the lowest he's had in quite some time. But you play the Minnesota Vikings,
November 4th. You play the Chicago Bears, November 11th. You play Cam Newton, November 18th. Then you go back and play the Bears on November 22nd. And then you start December, actually, December 2nd against my pick to go to the Super Bowl, the LA Rams. If you can get through that gauntlet of a November and early December, holla at your boy on December 3rd. Then I will know if the Lions are legit. But right now, Packers, all right, I'm Packers. They're not a good team. Dolphins, it's not a good team. I'm not buying the Dolphins either. Patriots, if the Lions were to play the Patriots today, it'll be a different story than that 26-10 win on September 23rd. Let's keep it all the way 100. So can we pump the brakes a bit? Sure. I'm loving Matthew Stafford. Matty Stav is playing some great football. Reason why? Dude finally has a run game. He doesn't have to play superhero ball every single Sunday. He's got Kerryon Johnson in that backfield. Kerryon Johnson, man, if he stays healthy, this dude is serious, man. He's a fantastic, fantastic running back. I like the pick when the Pistons drafted him. I mean, the Lions. See, I'm stuck on the Pistons. The Lions, when the Lions drafted him. Kerryon Johnson is legit. Receivers. You see with Galladay, Tate. I mean, those guys, they speak, their play speaks for itself. The defense, though, this defensive line just got really, really good. Okay, with this addition of Damon Harrison, they got really, really good. Secondary, though, I love Darius Slay. But I'm still not sold on that secondary. I got to see more of the Lions against some legit competition before I go all in and say, I love you, girl. All right? Pump the brakes on the Lions talk. That's all I'm saying. I'm kind of getting tired of it. It's like they've done this to you before. Don't fall for it again. Don't do it. Give it some time. Send more flowers. Continue to text me. Continue to call me on the regular. All right, girl? Before I start buying into this team. All right, let's hit our first break. You like that? It sounds personal, doesn't it, Jack? Yeah, back in the day, man. Still got some feelings for it, too. All right, let's hit this first break. When we come back, we will chat with Xavier DeGroat. Spartan Sports supports Xavier DeGroat and the Autism Foundation, a great event taking place at the Breslin Center tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sport. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You just heard my thoughts on the Detroit Lions. Am I buying the Detroit Lions right now? No. Press pause. All right, they have not beaten anybody. Again, Packers, not a great team. Dolphins, don't let that 4-3 record fool you. Not a great team. Ryan Tannehill didn't play. Brock Osweiler was the quarterback. Against the Patriots, yeah, that looks good. You beat the New England Patriots. The juggernaut in the National Football League, but multiple inactives. Rob Gronkowski playing on one leg. All right. Okay. And it's early in the year. The Patriots always start off slow. Now that train is a humming. If the Lions were to play the Patriots today, different story, I think. All right. Cam from Okemos wants to weigh in. Line one, Cam, you are on WKAR's Current Sports.
Hey, thanks, Al. So a morning, the MSU loss on Saturday, so I'm trying to switch over to Pistons, and I'm going in a rabbit hole on the internet here, right? I'm looking up the Pistons, and I stumble across the Sports Illustrated top 10 executives of the 2000s through 2009, and Joe Bleepin' Dumars is ninth on that list, and I go, wow.
And you know, Cam, it just shows you just how high we were on Joe Dumars back in the day. When he won that 2004 Detroit Pistons championship, I mean, Joe could do no wrong. No wrong at all, Cam.
So, Al, you're taking over the team tomorrow. Give me your first three executive decisions to get back, to get on that list, to get Al Martin on the top 10 executives of the 2020s. What are you doing to fix the Pistons?
If I'm in charge of the Pistons right now, well, I tell you what, I like this team the way it is, Cam, to be real with you. I mean, I don't know if I would make any major changes right now. I mean, you got the reigning NBA coach of the year in Dwayne Casey. That is huge. And you know what? I want to look this up. If the fellas behind the glass, I'm going to put them to work real quick. Has there ever been in the four major sports a back-to-back coach or manager of the year with two different teams? Because I think Dwayne Casey has a chance to be the coach of the year. And again, it's so early. It's only three games in, Cam. But I think he has the chance to be a back-to-back coach of the year with two different franchises here. If the Pistons are successful, if they become a four or five seed, we'll see what happens. But I don't think that's ever happened in all of major sports. So, Cam, I wouldn't make any major changes. I like this roster the way it is right now. Is Cam there? Okay, that was just Cam's question. Thank you, Cam. Appreciate that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. But, yeah, I mean, and you know, I was talking with Trevor, you know, when we were going into the headliners, and we were just talking about, you know, Ish Smith. You know, what I love about Ish Smith, and Ish Smith was put into an odd position last year when Reggie Jackson got hurt. Ish was pegged to become the starting point guard for the Detroit Pistons. That is a position that Ish Smith just isn't comfortable in. He just isn't. Ish loves coming off the bench. He loves, you know, watching what happens and then just going out there and becoming a firecracker right off bat. To man the game from the start, that's just not who Ish Smith is. He is the perfect backup point guard. And you saw what he did and what he has been doing throughout the first three games this year. I mean, and he had his handle of the basketball is just it's just nasty. You know, Ish Smith. I mean, I think it was Ish, you know, who in preseason action, actually at the Breslin Center against the Cleveland Cavaliers, had that nasty crossover that put I forget who the defender was, you know, put the defender on his bottom, and then he hits the jumper right before like the second quarter going into halftime. And the Pistons bench just goes crazy, and they come on the court, and it's just pandemonium. I mean, Ish Smith has great handle of the basketball. I love Reggie Jackson when he's healthy. You know, Reggie, though, this is the thing about Reg. I'm not a huge Reggie Jackson fan because if you look at Reggie, throughout his NBA career, he's a ball stopper. I mean, you get the ball to Reggie, and Reggie just is selfish sometimes. He says, just, it's my basketball, get out the way. I have not seen that Reggie, though. So far this year, Reggie is sharing the basketball. He's trying to get others involved. And I think Dwayne Casey, again, his scheme of saying, all right, Blake, we're going to get the basketball to you first, and we're going to operate around you. That is working. That is working. Blake Griffin had 6 assists last night to go along with that career high, 50 points, 14 boards. He also had a block, only one turnover. That's amazing. That is amazing. 20 of 35 from the floor. When it comes to Reggie Jackson, I mean, Reggie was pretty efficient. 50% from the floor. 7 of 14, 3 of 6 from deep. And by the way, Blake was 5 of 10 from deep. Also, you know, 23 points. He was plus 10. Reggie Jackson plus 10 while on the court for the Pistons. That's pretty solid. And then you have Ish Smith, you know, 21 points. 21 points for Ish Smith coming off the bench, 9 of 12 from the floor. That's great. That's great. So, and the fact that the Pistons play in the NBA's Eastern Conference, again, LeBron James is gone. He's in the West. That has opened up things a bit more as well. This is a Pistons team that should be, when you look at the talent on this roster, and if they stay healthy, knock, knock, knock on wood. If they stay healthy, this should be a 4 or 5 seed in the league, in the Eastern Conference at least. All right, so we'll see what happens. It's early. It's early. 3-0, though, that's pretty fun to think about. And hopefully, you know, I always say, man, I mean, the Palace of Auburn Hills used to be one of those venues in the NBA where opposing teams hated to play in because it used to get so raucous. I mean, during the glory years of when the Pistons were winning quite regularly and going to the conference finals and making the playoffs on a regular basis, the NBA championship in 2004, during that time, I mean, teams hated to go to the Palace because people would come out and it was loud there. If you build it, they will come. All right, and all this complaining about, oh my goodness, the crowd is so sparse at LCA for the Red Wings and the Pistons. Well, you know why? Because both franchises haven't been winning. If they win, that creates excitement, and that gets people in the seats. Simple as that, okay? And that's the thing about the Wings, too. I think the Wings, Jack, are off to their worst start since, like, the 80s?
Yeah, oh, it's been bad, man.
It's bad. It's of historical proportion. So why, if you're a fan, unless you're diehard, why are you going to spend your money and go down there to watch that product? Unless you are a diehard. If you build it, they will come.
Diehard's not an excuse. Exactly. I'm a diehard. I'm not watching the Red Wings. Absolutely not.
Exactly, yeah. Jack. If they were winning, you got a reason to go down there. All right? So all this complaining, oh, my goodness, it looks so bad on TV when I look up. And now they've changed the color. You know, they've gone from red seats now, I believe, to black. So, you know, they went to red because nobody's coming. You know, red can kind of like mask how empty it is on television. Own it, all right, and win. If you win, tickets will be sold, all right? So we'll see if the Pistons can keep this up, and if they do continue to win, again, tickets will be sold. I asked a question, Jack. Has there ever been, when it comes to the major North American professional sports, has there ever been a manager or coach of the year who has won back-to-back with two different teams, yay or nay?
So props to Trevor Tozlowski here. To my knowledge, we have not been able to find any coach who's won in back-to-back years with different teams. However, both Bruce Arians and Don Shula in the NFL won twice in a three-year period with different teams.
Wow.
So that's the closest.
They won twice. Don Shula and who?
Bruce Arians.
And Bruce Arians won twice.
In a three-year period.
In a three-year period.
With different teams.
With different teams. That's pretty amazing as well. That's pretty amazing. But it's never been done back-to-back years.
Not to our knowledge.
With a different team with one man in charge. That's amazing. Dwayne Casey can make some history here. I think he's got a chance. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's so early. You know. And then I got into it with my stepdad yesterday, last night, talking with him. You know, my stepdad and my unc. Because, you know, they're harping on LeBron James for those missed free throws, you know, when the Lakers played the Spurs two nights ago. And I'm like, and they're saying, oh, LeBron James can never deliver in the clutch. They're like, my stepdad has turned into, I hope he's listening right now. He has turned into a LeBron hater, you know, making these hard assumptions about the Lakers and LeBron so early in. Yet I'm doing that right now when it comes to the Pistons. I'm speaking on potential, though. All right. But, my goodness, LeBron just got the keys to the Staples Center. Let's see what happens. And let's be right, just the expectations. Just because LeBron James is playing in the purple and gold, the Lakers aren't going to win a championship. They'll be lucky to get to the second round of the NBA playoffs this year with that kind of talent that they have. All right? They play in the Western Conference. You got big dogs like the Houston Rockets, the Golden State Warriors. The Lakers pale in comparison to the talent that are on those two rosters. They got a long way to go. All right. Again, the Lakers will be lucky to make it to the second round of the NBA playoffs. All right. I'm done. I get real passionate when I talk NBA. I love the NBA. People are, if you don't watch the NBA, Jack, if you're not watching the NBA, man, check it out, dude. It is fun stuff. It is fun stuff. Every night it's something, man. From Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo, you know, throwing some bows like Floyd Mayweather, all right? It's fun stuff. It really is. All right, let's hit our final break. I don't think we've had Xavier call in. Xavier DeGroat, I was hoping to get him one. If not today, we may have to push this to tomorrow, which will be very busy, and the event will be just about over because the event takes place from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Breslin Center. The Spartan Sports supports Xavier DeGroat and the Autism Foundation. But we hope to get Taryn McCutcheon on the show, MSU women's basketball point guard, local kid from right here in East Lansing. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
All right, as we're waiting, I'm hoping that we get Taryn McCutcheon on the show. She hasn't called in just yet. But as we're waiting, I do want to touch on Mark D'Antonio and his press conference yesterday at the Tom and Loopy Izzo Media Center inside of Spartan Stadium. You know, Tom Izzo, Mark D'Antonio. And speaking of Tom Izzo, real quick, Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day. I'll be in the house at the Breslin Center for that. We'll have a two-minute drill report on what Tom Izzo has to say, along with his players, about this upcoming year for Michigan State men's basketball. But Mark D'Antonio holds his press conference, as you all know, each and every Tuesday morning. And Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the Michigan football team, holds his press conference every Monday afternoon at 12 on the campus of the University of Michigan. And we all know the drama, right? We all know what happened before the game between the Spartans and the Wolverines. You know, the traditional shoulder-to-shoulder, locked-arm walk that Michigan State has been doing throughout Mark D'Antonio's tenure from one end zone to the next. That was interrupted by a few Michigan players, one of those being Devin Bush, who had a temper tantrum and shoved his cleats into the Spartan logo right on the field of Spartan Stadium. Amy Foudy and her fantastic turf team got it all cleaned up and ready for game time. But, you know, that's become like the talk of the town. I mean, when I was with my family yesterday, and I got it good, I told you, most of them are Michigan fans. And I knew I was going to get it. I saw them and my cousin Keith. He came up to me, started talking some trash. My auntie Cal, my uncle Eddie, they all gave it to me when it came to that game. And then they started bringing up what happened prior to the game. I will say this, though, because I did have this thought, you know, when having this back and forth with them about what happened pregame. If we're being real here, it has added some interesting fire to the rivalry, hasn't it? It really has. It's become a... You know, because we all like, you know, when you're driving by a car wreck, you know, we all peek out the window to see what exactly happened, right? It intrigues us. We love watching drama. We love watching drama. And this is, you know, it just adds fuel to the fire of the rivalry. And now everybody's going to be sitting there for, you know, a little over a year now, waiting on that game out in Ann Arbor between Michigan and Michigan State, waiting to see if more drama happens. And I'm sure ratings are going to be up because people are going to be tuning in to see, okay, we know what happened last year. Devin Bush tore up the field with his cleats. Chase Winovich caught Michigan State little brother again. Jim Harbaugh, he went at D'Antonio 5 yards behind him, all smiling. What's going to happen this year? What's going to happen this year? Mark D'Antonio, after, you know, listening to Jim Harbaugh call the march an orchestrated storm trooper march, Mark D'Antonio took the high road. And I believe, if I heard it correct, Jack, D'Antonio, he basically shut down Harbaugh and the whole pregame talk right at the very start of the presser, right?
Yeah, he said he trusts in God to fight his battles.
Exactly. He's not even, and I'm not surprised Coach D did that. I mean, he's not going to bite into the words of another man unless he really feels compelled to. But he's not going to play this game and add more fuel to the fire. And he took the high road. I can't blame Coach D'Antonio. I'm not surprised that he did that. There are some out there that said, oh, well, Jim Harbaugh said that. And Jim Harbaugh said that, you know, it's not BS. And oh, my goodness, what's D'Antonio going to say now? That's not who D'Antonio is. D'Antonio is not going to play that game. So we all move on. And Michigan State will play Purdue this weekend. That will be a noon kickoff. How in the world is Michigan State favored in this game? What? Does Vegas have some insider information? What's going on here, Jack?
Who's
going
to score the touchdowns for our offense? Felton Davis is out. I mean, Jalen Naylor was on a pitch count last week. Cam Chambers has a broken hand. Cody White has a broken hand.
Right.
And I'm not sure Daryl Stewart was 100% on Saturday. Who's going to score for this offense?
I don't know.
And who's going to guard Rondale Moore?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Rondale Moore, oh, he is must-see TV.
He's awesome.
TV.
He is so fun to watch.
He is so fun to watch. Purdue, in general, it's just a fun team to watch. I don't know. Again, that's one of those lines you look at and say, intriguing. But, you know, Michigan State will play Purdue. I don't see how Michigan State beats Purdue this weekend. And now, you know, I've been having this debate with local media members, you know, since Saturday. Does Michigan State get bowl eligible? You know, you need six. Rutgers is a guarantee. But I don't know if you can look at MSU's schedule right now and say confidently, like 100% confidently, that Michigan State is going to make a bowl game this year. I'm just stating facts here. I mean, you play Purdue this weekend, Maryland. I don't think that's not going to be an easy win. Then you got Ohio State. Nebraska isn't going to be an easy game for them. Rutgers will be. I mean, if you lose to Rutgers, I mean, you don't deserve to be in the Big Ten, period. Michigan State will beat Rutgers. And, you know, for Michigan State, that will get them to, you know, that'll get them to five. But where does that sixth win come from? We'll see. You know, I think most people think that Michigan State will make a bowl game. I'm not saying they won't, but I'm not saying it's a shoo-in that they do. So, you know, we'll see how Michigan State looks this weekend. But Purdue, they are the surprise team of the Big Ten Conference. And, you know, looking forward now, I think Michigan, as much as I hate to say this, much as you don't want to hear this, Spartan fans, Michigan, right now, I'm just saying right now this week, right now in this moment at 1:53 p.m. on October 24th, Michigan is the Big Ten favorite. Right now, I think that's going to change. I think Ohio State will rebound because they are that talented. Michigan, number five team in the nation. Ohio State sits at number 11. And, you know, this is a Michigan football team that has a legit defense. Everything's clicking for Michigan right now. You know, Caron Higdon, you know, he's fun to watch. Shea Patterson, he's the quarterback that Jim Harbaugh wanted. And Shea Patterson, we didn't know much about him. You know, I reserved my thoughts on Shea Patterson until I really got a good look at him. And Shea Patterson's a decent quarterback. You know, he can get out and run the football, put it on the ground. You know, he makes pretty good decisions when it comes to throwing the football. You know, this is a good Michigan team. You know, Spartan fans don't want to hear that, but you got to admit, this is a good Michigan football team. Ohio State got knocked upside the head against Purdue. And, you know, Ohio State, though, I just think Purdue is that good. Purdue has that kind of talent. Says a lot because Ohio State is, I mean, you talk about from a talent perspective, Ohio State is one of the most talented teams in the nation. And for Purdue to do that to Ohio State, Purdue's going to be an Indy. They're going to be an Indy playing either Ohio State or Michigan. We all know that. And, you know, now things really got interesting with that Ohio State loss to Purdue because now I think that, you know, and there's so many scenarios, you know, we kick around this all the time around this, you know, this time of year in college football. You know, that really made things interesting when it comes to whether or not a Big Ten team will get in the college football playoff. Because I just want to say this, you know, just what if, just let's play the what if game here. Notre Dame will get into the college football playoff, right? Notre Dame, I think, is going to finish undefeated and get into the college football playoff. I know that's going to irritate a lot of people because Notre Dame, they don't play in a conference. Notre Dame, you know, they don't have to play a conference championship game. But Notre Dame is a big brand, big name. They finish undefeated. They will be there. Despite the angst of many college football fans, Notre Dame will be there. Alabama, shoo-in. Alabama will be there. Clemson, you know, Clemson has had some surprise things happen to it this season. I think Clemson's going to get in. I do. You know, I will say this, that was an impressive win over NC State, 41-7. You know, I think Clemson will get in. They'll be favorite for the rest of their matchups throughout the year. But, you know, Jack, what if, and I know this is a huge what if LSU beat Alabama? I love LSU. But it just played a what if game for right now. If LSU was to do that, Alabama still gets in, and you have to put LSU in, and then no Big Ten team gets in, because you're not going to leave Clemson or Notre Dame out. It'll be Alabama, it'll be LSU, it'll be Notre Dame, it'll be Clemson, and that Big Ten championship winner will be sitting there saying, woe is me.
Well, not necessarily, because the way it shakes out with LSU, LSU already has a loss.
They do.
So the way I look at it, if they were to lose to Georgia, even if they beat Bama, if they were to lose to Georgia in the conference title, I don't think they'd get in. I think one loss Georgia would get in at that point. But to
you have to put Georgia in then
at
over
that
LSU,
point, that would still
Alabama.
Be two SEC teams, though,
right.
I think.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the Big Ten winner will be sitting there saying, well, better luck next time.
Yeah, I don't think it's a sure thing just yet that the Big Ten gets in.
That is crazy to think about, isn't it?
This is a weird year in college football. Outside of Alabama, I don't think anyone looks outstanding.
That's true. That is very, very true. I don't know. There's so many scenarios. I was just thinking about that, like, man, that could really hurt the Big Ten. All right, we'll have more conversation on that. Wow, the two guests I had planned didn't call in. Live radio, it happens, baby. Still a great show. Cam, thank you for calling, and all of those who weighed in on social media. I'm sorry I didn't get to your comments. I was going through and I saw some really interesting comments. I'm going to read some of those on tomorrow's Current Sports. All right. Also, tomorrow is Michigan State Men's Basketball Media Day. I have a 2-minute drill report on that. Excited to hear from the players and to talk with Coach Izzo. So, going to be a busy day tomorrow. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.